grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially verse 70. A little bit more strict of a translation of their question. So they all said, "You then are the Son of God?" And he said to them, "You say that I am." This is the text. On a very basic level, we, the human race, are a dishonest species. We pretend that certain things are true and deny other things that are plainly true. We act as if we weren't aware. We make excuses. There's a saying, "He who is good at making excuses is seldom good at anything else." What other species is there that would have such a thing as lawyers, whose job it is at times to make the unthinkable thinkable and the normal seems strange? We count it as special and out of the ordinary, and we make note of it when someone comes along who has a great deal of integrity. Should that not be the normal with every one of us in every situation? Children, how easy is it to report on bad grades or on getting in trouble in school? Teenagers, telling your parents that you banged up the car? Husbands and wives, that you got a speeding ticket or ran a red light and it's going to cost over $100? You know the refrain. It wasn't my fault. I didn't actually do it, and so on and so on. Until you follow the prompts on the ticket and watch the video from the red light camera. Oops. Our health. It's not bad enough. I don't need to go to the doctor. I don't think it's broken. If I let the doctor know how bad it is, he'll want me to change my diet. That's us, living in denial. We have a spectator's interest in those times when somebody is finally confronted with the truth and can no longer deny it. And those things are rampant on daytime television. And I haven't even talked yet about confessing our sins. That's what we do. And we use a few confessions here specifically written in a way that makes us uncomfortable. Earlier this week, I ran across a video and a transcript of, get this, a disgraced bicycle racer stripped of his medals doing an interview with a disgraced actress discussing their bad choices and what it was like to live with the consequences of everybody knowing what they had done and how to go on from there. A fascinating interview. And today, Billy Graham was lying in state at our nation's capitals, where the politicians pay their respects to someone who told them deep spiritual truths. The politicians are drawn with a longing for truth deep in the soul, because that is the other part of who we are as human beings. And almost 2,000 years ago, the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling council, met to deal with Jesus, and they would ask him, "Are you the Christ?" In the background of that question and that encounter, in the background there were the teachings of Jesus, where the people were astonished because he was explaining the Word of God and opening it up to them in a way they had never heard about the Sabbath and doing kindness and about sin and forgiveness and about basic truths about God and on and on and on. And in the background, there were the miracles. Go tell John what you have seen. The blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the poor have the good news preached to them. All the signs of the coming age of the Messiah, they were there. A man born blind from birth is given sight. Nothing like this has ever been done from the beginning of the world. And how he did it? Using the mud, the dirt, the clay from the earth, pointing back to Adam's creation. Jesus was dropping hints. He fed the 5,000 out in the wilderness, bread from heaven like God did at the Exodus. And it all culminates with the raising of Lazarus, 4 days dead. Jesus commands death itself. Those from the ruling council say, what are we going to do? If we let him go on like this, everyone will follow him. And in the background, there is dealing with Jesus. There was that confronting truth, that truth that makes us as individuals and as a species very uneasy. As Jesus was looking into the eyes of Nicodemus, John chapter 3, and the woman at the well, John chapter 4, and telling them what is inside their souls, you see both of them squirming. We construct the so-called truth about ourselves in ways that we are comfortable with. But when someone comes along who sees right through that, we get nervous. What else are they seeing? What else are they going to tell me about myself? We hide, we cover up, we try to get out of the situation. But when it is Jesus, or someone bringing the message about Jesus, we find ourselves drawn. We know that it is a truth we need to hear. Our hearts burn within, and we find ourselves coming back, needing to hear more. There's no escape from the one encounter, the one encounter that will define eternity for each one of us. Because Jesus said, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. So the Sanhedrin meet to deal with Jesus. If you are the Christ, tell us. They pretend like he had not already told them. Back in John chapter 10, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. And he responds, I told you, and you do not believe. You do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. And so again, they ask, pretending that Jesus had not told them. His answer finishes with, but from now on the Son of Man shall be seated at the right hand of the power of God. It's a warning. You see, pretending not to have heard is not something you can do with God. Pretending not to have seen the signs and the miracles, not to have heard the teaching with authority, not to have noticed that he is opening up the scripture in ways they had never heard before doesn't work with Jesus. Pretending that they do not know the passages that he had led them to about the suffering servant, about the Messiah, wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, with the chastisement that brought us peace, by whose stripes we are healed, on whom the Lord has laid the iniquity of us all. It won't work to pretend they had not heard that. In fact, the rabbis had taught for generations that the Christ would come along, and that he would suffer, and that he would die. And in his dying, he would win salvation for the people. He knows what is in their souls. Jesus knows the dawning realization that they are hiding from themselves and hiding deep inside. He knows full well how they have turned away from the truth. And he even knows how they have fulfilled the paying of the price of the betrayal. 28, 29, 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. And from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power of God. And they answer him. Be very literal with the word order, because there's something else than a simple question going on here. You then are the Son of God? It's a conclusion that is plain and simple, and drawn from all that they have seen and heard, from all the verses of the Old Testament that they have studied for so many years. Let me give you a comparison of questions that you might hear in our day. So then 2 and 2 is 4? So then the sun rises in the east? You then are the Son of God? And they will say it and pretend to be shocked by the conclusion. Jesus' answer is word for word, you say that I am. He calls them on it. They know. He knows that they know. He tells them that he knows that they know. And again, Jesus is looking right into their souls and telling them what is inside. As a human race, we hide from the truth. We avoid the truth. And that is what they are doing. And it is so completely unnecessary. Because the truth that Jesus brings is life-giving truth. It is the truth that calls to us sinners and tells us of the forgiveness of God who has been calling us. It tells us of a good shepherd who has been searching for us and who is the one who lays down his life for the sheep. The truth is very simply Jesus, who brings a new truth into our lives, and it is the truth of us being his and having eternal life. It is the truth to run to and not to hide from. And now only a few more things are left to be done in this encounter. He has told them, he has called them, he has confronted them. What remains to be done? He will go to the cross to die for them. And then he will rise from the dead for them. And then he will send messengers, apostles, disciples, Christians, to call them again and again and again. Because this is what Jesus does. And not only in their day, but in ours as well, as he sends us. And that is why I believe in Jesus. Amen.